Good to be with you again tonight. And having finished up with the book of Acts, I wanted to go back and, we talked in verse 28 in the book of Acts. It says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation there is soterion." And soterion actually takes up 10 verses in Luke 2. Now we want to look at that. Talking about salvation as being Christ Jesus. And I had a little note on that. It says, talking about receiving salvation. We do not take salvation because salvation to us has been freely given.
Amen.
To those that will hear and see, because that's what it talked about there is, in the last part that Paul had with those there in Rome when he issued Isaiah 6 upon them, because, it says, seeing you won't, you look and you won't see, basically in hearing, that your ears are stopped up, so to speak. But we realize that it was sent to the Gentiles, or literally was sent. And it said they would hear it. So salvation there to a lot of people is the word believing. But I think salvation is much more than that. Because when Christ was there with them after he arose, and he told them to wait there until the Comforter come. And the Comforter has a great deal, I think, to do with a person understanding and being able to use that understanding in a way that God meant for him to do it. So I wanted to go back and to do this part of the second chapter of Luke again, and so that's where we're going in this hour. And I put in my notes here, another new beginning. So I wanted to go back to Luke 25, and we're going to go to Luke 38 if we have time. If we don't, we'll finish it up the next time. But in looking at this and looking at the structure in the Companion Bible, I come up with this word, attestation. And it was used basically twice there, and it means, and I'll just go ahead and we'll talk about attestation a little bit. It is one who gives a testimony or declares truth, and behold, goes along with that, and asterismos, and it says see appendix 6, which equals an announcement. So we're going to look at a testimony and an announcement as one thing, because this man has come there to present himself and hold the young baby child, Jesus. So he's there for announcement, and he's there for testimony and truth. And it was certainly something that we need to behold or to look into or look at. So let's look at verse 25 here, dealing with a man, or an anthropos. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Okay, two or three things here that kind of popped up in my mind. One was the consolation of Israel, and another one was that the Holy Ghost was not in him at this point, but was upon him. Yeah. And so it talks about here a little bit about the Holy Spirit being, in the couple of verses here, of being not the same thing. One time it's called a person. So, let's go ahead and read my notes. So, the attestation is one who gives the testimony, and of course, that was Simeon. And but it says there was a man, and in the Greek here, because we have still going back to the Hebrew somewhat, and sometimes these double meanings, you get it in the notes here in both terms. This anthropos, and that's, you can find that in appendix 123-1 in Jerusalem. Okay, whose name was Simeon. Well, in the Hebrew, it is S-H-I-N-E-O-N, Shining. And you can find that in Genesis 29:33 on page 42. And it also had another note there that said he was possibly the same father of Gamaliel of Acts 5:29-34. So while we're here, and while we're this close, let's go to Acts 5. Acts 4 is pretty long. We're going to Acts 5. Acts 5:29 says this. Well, I'm not in Acts. Let me get to Acts. I've got too many things marked out here. I was looking back at Luke again. Yeah. On page 1588. If I'm in the right spot. Yeah. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That was when they were being told not to preach Jesus. And they was talking to Peter, and it said, "Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So, there we have that where Peter was going back to the things that had happened there that we read a long time ago. In Acts 5. And it says, talking about being the father of Gamaliel. And it said, "And the same was just and devout." And that equaled out to you ladies. And it says it was used only by Luke. And it equal to or meaning of taking hold or being careful and circumspect in observing the law with godly fear. And talking about Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. Full stop. And that, and the rest of that was, a formula of blessing or a witness, there that evidently the Jews could make unto the priest. And it had a couple, a double meaning there. A formula or blessing of a witness. A form of a blessing or a witness. I can't read my own writing to that. And it meant that even if I can't understand And that formula of a blessing, so it was could be both a blessing or a witness. And it says this, to be a witness, even if I can't understand. And the end of that was, may I not see it, or if I see it, or if I speak not the truth. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And here it says a spiritual gift was pneumahagion. And the appendix there is 101 Roman numeral 2-14.
He had the pneumahagion before Peter and them in Acts 2 did.
Yeah. Well,
long before.
The first part of the of that, I think, was that for a direction, and the second part of that was for speaking or language and understanding. And it calls one of them a person rather than the comforter. But, of course, Christ speaking after his being raised from the dead said that it was the comforter. So, you know, you look at it. It says in verse 26 there in Luke 2. Let me see if I'm back on the right page. Yeah. Yeah, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ, the Lord's Christ. So, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. That occurs 9 times. And the note in the Companion Bible was that 7 times of a divine communication. And not the same person as in verse 25. So in verse 25, it was talking about one thing, and then evidently in 26, it says the Holy Ghost with article revealed to him that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And I wondered about that a little bit, because there was 7 times one and 2 times other stuff. And so that was 26. In 27 it says, and he, Simeon, came in the spirit. And here it says it's the Holy Spirit himself. And into the temple courts or the Hieron. Into the temple courts. Again, that's a full stop. And he says, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do concerning him or for him That Greek word there is para, after, or according to the custom of the laws. Then took or received he, Simeon, in or into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord or Master. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. Saying, and so here is a quotation, I think. To do for him after the things of the law. He took him up his arms and said, and yeah, 29 is a quotation. Lord or Master, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy words, saying, for mine eyes, verse 30, have seen thy salvation. And that Greek is to soterion. So it's a little different from just soterion. It's to soterion. When thou hast prepared, which thou hast prepared before, or the word Greek kata, in appendix 104.10, X-2 or 10-2, before the face of all the people. In verse 32, is a quote. Is a quote from Isaiah 42:6, talking about this baby, a light to lighten the Gentiles, i.e., the word Greek eis, eis, meaning a revelation of. And that Greek word is apokalypsis, a revelation, and a manifestation to view. The first of 18 occurrences of the glory of thy people Israel. And the note in the companion Bible said that Israel is not yet to have the glory. Because, in my view, the glory there is that to be had after Christ has been with them for a period of time and has been crucified and have taken away their sins. That is the glory that he did that no one else was able to do or could do.
Amen.
So they're still talking about old things or older things, and then also we've got it, but we don't have it yet fully. It's, and this part of this early part of Luke goes to that. From it kind of bounces from one thing to the other thing. And so we get down to verse 33. And it said, and Joseph. And there was a note there that says this. Most of the text reads his father. But it's not in the Syriac. And his mother marveled to wonder by admiration at those things which were spoken of concerning him. So his father and his mother marveled to wonder by admiration at the things which were spoken concerning their little baby.
It's a pretty big deal when a guy says, I've waited all my life to see this.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Yeah. He says,
I'm ready.
You know, Lord, now I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Take me on. Yeah.
It was just like, well, I'm here, but I may have been sent here. Because he knew, I think, when he got there, it wasn't long till he wasn't going to be there anymore. So, in that situation, if you've been directed somewhere for a specific reason by God, then what else can you expect?
Yeah.
You know, if something has been put off for you for a period of time, that's just like saying that we don't get salvation, we don't take salvation, but when you're walking either for God or walking away from God, if you're walking for God, you can get the blessing. But if you turn your back and walking away from God, do you think he's going to give you that blessing? He's not going to waste it on somebody that's not doing the will that he put forth to be done.
Yeah, amen, Chico. And to be blessed to recognize that moment.
Yeah.
And Simeon knew what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So he knew what was going on. Okay. And it said in verse 34, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary, his mother. And certainly, one of these things said, well, they wasn't going to call Joseph his father because they knew who the father was.
Yeah.
Okay, behold, this child, now talking to Mary, the mother, and all that she'd been through and the situation of, you know, not having known a man and all this stuff. It says, behold, this child is set or destined. And that means to be appointed for the fall. And the fall equals a stumbling block. Isaiah 8:14, and a rising or rising up again of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, it says CX 28:22. And it says this was but a prophecy and not describing his character. So I think he cut it a little bit light for Mary, because what he was saying was harsh things. And so,
I think he went about as easy on her as he could.
Yeah, I think the message was, because they were admiring what was being said, all of a sudden it changed.
Yeah.
And it changed to a point where she had to do some studying on this, I think, a little bit in order to see. But Acts 28:22, let me go back to Acts 28:22 in my notes. Okay. It says, but we desire or think it's right to hear of or from thee what thou thinkest as concerning this sect or the heresies, as we know or it is known in the Greek gnoskos everywhere that it is spoken against. So he's talking about, I think in that situation, as being resurrection. It says it can be a raising up again of many in Israel. Well, if there is no resurrection, then there wouldn't be a raising up there. And it says, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And the ones that was speaking against it was the hierarchy of the council of Israel.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear it. And so the note says, but a prophecy and not describing its character, because they didn't go into the details with the mother as to what all that might cause or bring about. Okay. So, we go down to verse 36. Oh, wait a minute. We don't want to go back to this.
35.
Well, I don't know what I've done there. Okay. 35. Yes, I would say, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, and also that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay. Oh, I've got it. Mark, yea, sword shall pierce through thine own soul, suke. Also a parenthetical insertion. That the thoughts or the reasonings of Luke 5:22 of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, now verse 36, I'm sorry. And I was getting on over quite a while and looking all this stuff up. And he goes to verse 36 with Anna and her testimony. From 36 through 38. Now, I think all this has a theme. 25 through 35 has a theme that these were those trying to follow the law and or keep the law and as best they thought they could, I guess, but I'm not sure if that was some of them's thing because they had took it so deeply until they felt like they'd lose their position and place with these people of the Romans here. And but Anna is a little different. Anna is looking at it as a servant rather than one trying to hold up the law. And so these three verses are different from the ones that we have just read, spoke about. And it says this, and there was one Anna. In the Hebrew, it's Hanaha. H-A-N-N-A-H, Hanaha. Also, in 1 Samuel 20, and she was gracious, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, full stop. And that full stop there is to get you to stop and look at this for a minute, because here, this Anna of Israel is united with Simeon of Judah. So here's two tribes that were not together in a sense, yet they're united here for this particular purpose. And it says she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And and it says this, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which would be 84 years. So she was an old lady. She was over 100 years old.
Yeah.
I would certainly give thought to that. Which departed not. And that not there is the little Greek word OU. Ooh. From the temple, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. And I read that and I said, well, the Apostle Paul said he prayed continuously, but I believe the lady's got him beat here because evidently she was much older when she died than he was.
Yeah.
So, I thought about that because Paul, you know, he always was a prayer warrior and always mentioned those that he knew that needed prayer. And so, but here this lady is there, and she hadn't been out of the temple evidently for a long, long, long time, 84 years. And it said, and she coming in or standing by that instant at the same time or the same hour. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and gave praise and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem, or waited for redemption in Jerusalem. And so she was acting as a servant of God there, because even though she married a man and was with him for a while, and when he died, then she stayed there. And this would kind of remind you of how the Romans maybe come up with their Catholic nun thing, in the sense that she just stayed there and prayed and fasted. I don't know how they got their food in the temple. I guess there was enough people there that somebody did the cooking somewhere. But it said she prayed and fasted. And so she may have fasted about as much as she prayed. So, that was the situation there. And so this was the two things. One group kind of went by the law, and they had heard down all the way from Genesis down that one would come. And so there's nowhere, not very much space of time in there, that the beginning of this story about someone would come that could do this. And I don't know if they understood it as a story or they understood it as a truth or what, but nevertheless, that one had been prophesied to do that. And we'll read a little bit. Let's go back to Luke 1. In Luke 1, I want to go to verse 68. And it tells in here about Zacharias and the prophecy given by Zacharias. And there was more than one Zacharias, because this is not, I don't think, the same Zacharias as the one you find in the book of Zacharias. Because in Zacharias 13 there, a prophecy was given that there would be no more prophets for 430 years. And if you had a child and he came in and told you that he was the prophet of God, he said, take him out and kill him. It said, one would come, and when he come, he would have nail prints in his hands. And he said, when you ask him where he got them, he will tell you, I was with friends. My friends. And this was 430 years before the nail prints were put there. Think about that for a minute. A prophecy that's going to happen nearly 500 years down the road here. Well, God knew that it would be recorded somewhere, or it wouldn't have been any use to have told a story like that. But he knew that this was going to happen. And so it certainly did happen. But here, we have got set of prophecy given by Zacharias, and we're going to start in verse 68. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Why? Because the name Benedictus was given to the prophecy of Zacharias after he got his speech back, or as he got his speech back. Remember, he's the father of John the Baptist. For he, God, the Father, had visited or looked upon and redeemed, to look upon and to redeem is seeing something and creating or causing a work, because it said that he wrought. And to wrought is to make or to reshape a plan to redeem his people. And I'm going to read you something out, if I can find it right quick, out of the book of Titus. Titus 2. And now, remember, Luke is getting a lot of this information from Titus, because I don't believe that Luke was there in the very beginning of these things in Acts or in Luke either. I think this was reported to him by other folks. I'm going to read Titus 2:11 through 15. Titus 2:11 through 15 is this. It's on page 18:18 if you have a companion Bible. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us." So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, and it is teaching. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. So you see, he gives you kind of the both hands. He says it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust was not why he was there, but that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The appearing of. So, Titus evidently had been around a little while, and he had had a lot to say, and Paul really loved Titus. And I think he loved him for that, of being through these dispensations that he went through with.
The first mention of Titus is all the way back in 2 Corinthians 2. So
yeah,
he was with Paul for a good chunk.
Absolutely.
Of so, the Acts period.
In Titus, in my notes, it says one of the 5 of the 45 uses of salvation that were mentioned. Now, Ronnie and I had a little discussion about that, and so we didn't really agree on it, but I may have miscounted when I was counting the numbers, and because I use Strong's a lot. He uses his computer. So.
Yeah, and they may differ, you know, I don't know.
So here we are.
Supposedly the program I got references the Strong's.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay. So verse 69, go back to Luke 1, 69. And it says, talking about redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And we won't go back there because it's about time to close, but if you would like to do this, a horn of salvation is a Hebrewism. It's hard for me to say. And go back and look at I don't know how long the 132nd Psalm is, but it mentions it twice here. Here's another thing it has a mention of something twice. And it says the horn of salvation is in Psalms 132:17, and for us in the house of his servant David. And the house of David is mentioned in Psalms 132:10. So I would get you to go back and look at Psalms 132 and just read Psalms 132 there. And it says in verse 70, as he spoke by or through, and that through there is the Greek die, and that's where we get our word diameter from, is through. It, you know, if you go through something in and out, that is looking for, or could be a diameter, or by the mouth of his prophets, which have been since the world began. Think about this. Since the prophets started, I believe in Genesis 12, talking there, somebody was mentioning something about this back in Genesis. But when you think about what you and I have been promised, and it talks about God knowing us from before the foundation of the world. Well, if we have been known that long, then it is hard for God to go back even how far beyond that, back before that, we don't know. But it says this was given since the world began. So this is not a mystery to those who have faith to believe and will receive God's word concerning resurrection and truth and holiness and godliness and the things that go with it in this day and age, that we can have hope, that we can be part and parcel of the body of Christ. Amen. And that was, you know, the body of Christ was not mentioned until the end of Acts, to an extent that we could realize that our hope now is based upon what Israel did not see and did not hear. of Isaiah 6. And here we have it. We'll go back and finish this. I'm not done with this, but I'm kind of now getting a little more used to going back to the other book, because I've been in Acts so long. We generally talk about the things that that they wanted to do to Paul for his demise. And here, you know, it's going back and giving you some understanding in other places. Because, you know, you don't usually see a lot of this, like Psalms quoted in, you know, in the latter part of the Acts, because it was the things that Paul was filling up that Christ did not get to fill up in order to get to the point to where this could be said in Acts 28:28.
Amen.
That's all we have. So my time's up. We'll pick it up and go from there another time, because I wanted to do this and go back into another part of Luke before I got that far down the road again.